Hi, I'm Crystal Kawula, lead coordinator for MVP Days, and I'm here today with Dave Kawula, Microsoft MVP, technical evangelist, and accomplished author.
Stand-up comedian?
No, not at all.
I'm pretty funny.
No, he thinks he's funny.
Well, I'm pretty funny for an IT guy.
Okay, he's pretty funny for an IT guy.
All right, okay. What are we talking about?
Today, I believe we are going to go over PowerShell. Yes. PowerShell session that actually came from 2014 Microsoft MVP Days Community Roadshow.
My dear friend and a good friend of yours, Mr. Sean Kearney, the Energized Tech.
Energized Tech is a very appropriate name for him because that guy is one big ball of energy.
We kind of have a rule when Sean presents.
That no caffeine.
No caffeine for Sean. And if you've ever seen Sean present on caffeine, he's like one of those turbocharged squirrels in one of those cartoons that just roots around.
I just had an amazing idea.
What's that?
I think we should feed him caffeine this year when he presents at MVP Days.
Yes.
And then when I record his sessions, we can...
We played halftime.
That's right. And that way we can get twice as much info in half as much time. And you need to mute your computer.
I will. I'll mute it. That's my email coming through, but that's fine. One take. That's all we get for these. So anyways, yeah. So Sean's session at MVP Days 2014 was absolutely amazing. I was lucky enough in between the sessions that I was presenting and our work that we were doing to run the conference to have a chance to attend the session. So this particular one was on an introduction to a feature that came with PowerShell version 4 called desired state configuration. Now, you know, we've done a lot of work in the past with server automation and scripting and stuff like that. Man, would have I loved to have had desired state configuration 10 years ago.
What was it first called?
Server automation and scripting. So anyways, with desired state configuration, it enables us to rapidly deploy server infrastructure. And the best part about it is it doesn't matter if you're on physical, if you're on virtual, it just has to be on a Windows Server platform that'll support PowerShell version 4. So you know what I think we'll do here is why don't we turn it over to Sean after this short break, and he can take it from there. Absolutely amazing session. You guys definitely want to stay tuned for the whole thing. There might be a special surprise as well at the end of the video, so make sure that if you don't watch the whole thing, scroll to the end, because I threw in a couple
outtakes. What do you mean if you don't watch the whole thing?
I mean when you watch the entire video.
After you've been entertained by good old Sean Kearney, then you can watch a little something at the end.
He is an entertainer.
He is entertaining.
He is probably one of the best presenters I know.
He is very bright, but he is also very entertaining, which just makes him a wonderful presenter. He will be back again this year at MVP Days, and we're very happy about that. He'll probably have his trusty sidekick, PowerShell Polly, with him. Enjoy the video, and make sure you come out and see him when he's presenting at MVP Days this year as well.
Awesome. Okay, we'll be back after the short break.
Thanks.
Good to go. Thumbs up. Amanda said I'm allowed to talk and not dive off the stage. Okay, so today we're going to introduce you to a feature brand new to Windows PowerShell 4.0. A feature that actually isn't not too difficult to work with, does not look like a script even though it runs in PowerShell, and will make deployment of servers a lot simpler and more consistent and may have your developers happy. I'm not sure if that's possible. So, for those of you who haven't seen me already, I've done two sessions today already there on PowerShell. My name is Sean Kearney. I'm also known as the Energized Tech, which means that when it comes down to me and coffee, the two are not allowed in the same room. And most forbiddenly, I should never have coffee before I present. Otherwise, we can turn this 45-minute presentation to about 5 minutes flat. And that's a ban from Microsoft themselves. I'm a senior solutions architect at Systel Technologies. We're a Microsoft Gold partner. We deal with a lot of government employees, a lot of government contracts. I get to work with System Center, Orchestrator, PowerShell, Configuration Manager, and generally whatever gets placed before me. But prior to that, I was this guy that worked for 8 years as a field technician. doing nothing, but going back and forth, having the 15, 16-hour days. So I know what it's like to have the 16-hour day. I know what it's like to hate the 16-hour day. And anything I can do to get you closer to that point where 5 o'clock hits around and you can go, just go home and not be worried about it, or if things can happen in your office and you're not stressed about it happening, I'd love to do. For Trivial Pursuit, I'm one of the scripting guys. So if you go to scriptingguys.com in Microsoft Corp, where you're learning all stuff about PowerShell, I'm one of the guys that regularly writes on that website. Ed Wilson's the main guy. I'm one of his happy little munchkins. I've actually had the strange idea that I was going to rewrite a Christmas holiday special because no one had ever done on a Christmas website for a computer company. And, well, we actually have a PowerShell carol. Yes, I took a Christmas carol, and Charles Dickens is going to come back from the grave and attack me for it. So, yes, I'm a geek. I'm very much a geek. If you were here earlier, I had Weird Al Yankovic playing over the speakers. That's just me. And most importantly, I know they keep rehashing this over and over, but this is critical because somebody's going to walk out, and the one person, I know it's going to be the one person that does not tweet that could have tweeted is the one person that could have won the Surface Pro. So if you've tweeted already, by the way, tweet again, because there's no limit on the tweets. The only rule, and I mean the only rule, is that the most interesting one, that one that really catches their eyes, walks off with the Surface Pro. Straight clearing and out the door. So, let's give you a quick little taste of what DSC looks like. So, here I'm on a current server that's working the way I want it to right now. La 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 la, life is good. Now, wouldn't it be nice if I could do something like this and have one little line? If I ran that, it would go and do all the work for me. Boop! So right now, this is going to go out to two web servers on my network right now that actually aren't even web servers. They're just plain civil server 2012 R2 boxes. We're pushing out all the required features for web server ASP.NET on the boxes. We're pushing out the file structure. We're setting up everything these boxes need to be web servers. Now, this could be one, this could be two, this could be 2,000. Okay, there's my effort. I'm done for the day. They're already deploying. This is desired state configuration. The concept is that instead of having to worry about whether it's a virtual machine, a Dell, a VMware, or a Hyper-V, it's simple. What defines a server, really? Other than the hardware, other than the you've got the operating system, but really, what defines what's on the operating? You've got certain features on there making a web server, certain files that make that machine active, or if it's a file server, certain services are already active. Or you're running a server that certain services have to be up at all times and are critical, and you might be monitoring for those services to fail and not fail, but wouldn't it be nice if there's a little guy in the background that, even though you're monitoring everything, acts as kind of like a free technician? That's desired state configuration. That's its job, is to take the desired state you defined in this file and apply it. Where that desired state is, I want a web server with the following folder structure. I want a file server pre-populated with the following destination folders. I want a domain controller. So when I deploy a domain controller, I can automatically say certain services are automatically populated. And by the way, after you populate these services, run the following script to promote it up to a DC. DSC will do all of that and more. We'll let this run through because this is a virtual environment and on a laptop, and you're not supposed to run your production web servers on your laptop, apparently, or so they tell me. So, desired state configuration is a lovely new concept. Anybody here remember Star Trek? You got to remember Star Trek, right? Star Trek Next Generation. You remember Riker and Picard, right? What did Riker always get told to by Picard? Three little words. Make it so. Desired state configuration is Picard. You're Riker. Nope, sorry. Let's try the round. You're the one in charge and just tells DSC to make it so. That was a complete script on my part. The whole idea is that basically that file defines what it's supposed to do, deploy it, let it go, and let that server go. DSC also has the other interesting option of when it's running properly and this feature is enabled, of not only does it deploy that configuration to the server, it can maintain that configuration. So in the past, I used to work with developers, and I'm ashamed to say some of my developers had local admin rights on the production web server. Guilty. Now, if I had desired state configuration, one of the features you can enable in DSC is that when a folder structure is applied, if anything is delta, is changed from that, that doesn't match the original configuration, it'll, guess what, reapply. So if I had DSC running on a web server and somebody changed the default HTML document to something that just crashed the entire website and suddenly I'm on the horn for the client, if DSC was in there with maintain mode, it could have overwritten that file from the original source file and brought the server back online. Even if SCON detected it, even if everything else detects it, you have the ability with desired state configuration to maintain that configuration. Not just push it, hold it. By default, that feature is off. So Microsoft is not just going to sit there randomly change your server features to mess you up, but it's an option. So the whole idea behind DSC is quite literally, I want the server to look like this. You paint it like a bunny rabbit, but that's not going to work very well. If it's a text file that literally says the features, the elements, the files, the scripts, the deployment applications that need to exist to make that server a server, this is the state of that server. And quite literally, the other option is quite literally to go check that server's configuration and maintain it to the way it should be, right down to files and services and operating applications. Evil cameraman. So DSC works in two configurations. The one is the one we just demonstrated to you right now, which is called the push model, where I literally stand at a single server and I say, here's the configuration, go out to this series of servers and apply it. That one takes very little setup there. You require Windows PowerShell 4 at both endpoints. So the server that's receiving it and the server that's sending it. So we're talking server 2008 R2, server 2012, server 2012 R2 are all candidates for Windows, yes, not Windows Management, excuse me, DSC. Also ones through the Windows Management, yes, excuse me, my brain is shutting off. One is through Windows Remoting. Now, be aware it runs through Windows Remoting because when you go to apply it to a DMZ server, which is not on your domain, ideally, you're going to have to do a little playing with it, WinRM, to add it as a trusted server. The other scenario for DSC, what's called the pull model, which is a little more trickier to set up. And if you check PowerShell.org for a post done by Stephen Murawski, he's got some great documentation of how he's setting up a pull server. A pull server is way better and way cooler. The whole idea of the pull server is here's my standard server template. When I fire the server up, given its name and its IP address, there's a little port that says, by the way, when you start this machine up, here's the DSC server for yourself. Fires up, checks the machine's name, compares it against the thing, brings the XML file and the DSC file down to that server, and begins applying its configuration. So spinning up new servers can actually be a little bit less complex. You just simply have a base machine that's pointing to the desired DSC central pool server. And again, desired state still works the same way. If you enable the maintain mode, it can keep maintain that configuration or simply act as a more like a template. Here's some cool trivia. DSC is also in the free Hyper-V Server 2012 R2. So the brains are chugging around here. Yes, you could theoretically spin up a virtual machine in Hyper-V Server 2012 R2 and actually use DSC to apply its configuration. So if you didn't have SCVMM, you could, in your own private little lab, for no real cost, use a little bit of PowerShell to build up your lab environment. So with desired state, we've got a whole pack of new command lists to make our lives a lot easier. Because if it wasn't PowerShell, there wouldn't be commandlets. So we got commandlets for getting the configuration, getting the low configuration. The one we're going to be using and focusing on today is simply the one here at the bottom called the start DSC configuration. Its task is simple. I'm going to point to a folder with the desired state configuration and say execute this task. It's going to grab the server names, the server data from this configuration, contact out to those machines, and begin applying that configuration. The cool part with DSC is that all the back-end work is actually happening on the machines that should be doing the work, the other servers. All the source server is doing is like dialing a phone call saying, here, run this commandlet, run this commandlet. Let me know the status. And that's what's just gathering back at the other end, the status of each of the results. And if there's any failures in those results, it'll come back again to the source server and form standard PowerShell error messages. For resources on the DSC, if you're in the earlier session today, we touched on DSC for a few seconds there. We were showing you can do Windows features. So you can sit there and say that server has a series of features that are automatically enabled within a DSC. But it's not just features on the server. When I deploy a server is not just about features. It's about what files have to sit on that server. We can push down archive files automatically to be unzipped. Environment variables can be predefined. So anything that's specific to your environment. If you want to change the temp folder for whatever reason, you can tell DSC that the temp folder's new location is here and define that as a feature of that server. You can push down files, folders, directory structures directly to that server through desired state configuration. Here's one that's particularly nice. I know group policy can do a lot of this. And even with PowerShell, I can do a lot of this. But the thing is, the text file doesn't look like a PowerShell script. I can define groups and Active Directory, your local computer groups. This is particularly useful if this server that we're pushing out to is the DMZ. And those are a little trickier to manage most days of the week. We can define what groups there are and the members of those groups. We can say where our configuration messages go through. We can push through DSC and say, MSI files have to get pushed down this machine so that they can actually run and install. One of the things I did here with DSC at an earlier presentation in Ottawa is we were playing with server APV. And one of the things that's required on the server environment of the destination nodes is the APV package. Well, with desired state configuration, we actually had the web services going out there, including the APV package itself, including its automatic installation on that machine. Process, you can actually sit there and identify that certain processes should always be running. So even though you've got SCOM, even though you've got management systems out there, you can sit there and say, this has to be running for this configuration to be considered good. Registry keys, and again, this is, again, group policy. You may not care because it can push them out. But those DMZ environments, you can DSC define registry keys that are critical and make that environment run. Your roles and features in Windows. Ah, yes, always good stuff there. And this is where we can sit there and say that Windows already has a web server, always has ASP.NET, has a file server that requires the following features installed on the computer to be a file server. We can sit there and say when DSC goes out and applies that file to that server, certain scripts from PowerShell have to run to make sure the thing's running properly. Services. We can define that within desired state, the service that, say, I don't know, NetLogon should always run. It probably always will. But let's just say you've got an application from a developer they've produced out there, and there's one service that occasionally does shut down. There's an error in the app. But when that application shuts down, the whole website goes down. You can use DSC and say that this particular service has to be always running and specify its target configuration. And as well, we can specify users that exist on those local workstations. Now, this is not the end-all, be-all list for DSC. This is DSC version 1. There's a series of resources that are being added to this by Microsoft and the community each and every day. So one that I didn't see on here was networking. I think it would be pretty darn cool if I can point to a server and say, after you spin up all this, I want to define whether these are teamed, whether that's got an IP address, what that configuration is. There's now modules for networking, modules for failover. It's an expanding list. It's exponential. If I think DSC can't do it today, tomorrow, somebody coughs up with a module that does exactly what I'm talking about. And these aren't modules designed only by Microsoft. These are people who use PowerShell and the back-end data centers professionally that don't work for Microsoft and say, you know, I see a need for DSC, but it doesn't have this feature. Well, guess what? They make it quite easy for us to develop the extensions to desired state configuration. They don't lock out the instructions. So a basic DSC file looks something like this. Has anybody here ever defined a function in Windows PowerShell? Okay, that's okay. So a function and DSC are fairly similar in how they work. So configuration is a keyword in PowerShell. So we give it a name, and that says our desired state configuration. Right now it's called name of configuration. It can be called internal web servers. It's something you pick. Node is literally your target location, and in most cases you're going to be thinking it's your server. But the reason we're going to see the term node is DSC is not based on only servers. And this is where things get interesting with desired state configuration. It's based on industry standards. So DSC can also be applied to, you ready for this, Linux servers. Can be applied to switches. As long as they are meeting with the industry standards, I believe it's CIM, there's a particular standard model they have to work. Now, the thing is, Microsoft's not telling them what the standard is. It's the other way around. No. Linux has this standard. Here's the common information model that the rest of the industry is working with. Guess what? Microsoft said, you know, you're right. It makes a lot more sense to actually play with everybody else's roles and follow them, because then, guess what? We can work with everybody. People hate it quite as much. So you target your node. Now, right now, we're working on a Windows Server 2012 environment. This could be a Linux box. Okay, so I haven't played with the Linux environments themselves, but that's a currently supported solution, and you can use desired state through CIM to define what a Linux box should look like. And then if you simply, at that point, you get a list of DSC resources. whether it's features, whether it's files, whether it's archives, and just define whether they're enabled, not enabled, and that's pretty much it. This is a basic DSC file. And really, if you looked at this, it looks like it's PowerShell, and it does run in PowerShell, but there's genuinely not a lot of code in this file. Like, I'm looking at this, and the first line is a name. The next line is a node name. The rest of it, this little block up here where it says Windows feature, you can repeat ad infinitum. That's your features you're dropping onto the server. Windows feature, basic description, present feature. That's your basic DSC file, nothing really complex. But you can go within DSC and say, by the way, before you transfer over a particular set of files or before you enable another feature on the server, this part here has to work. So right now it says, before I dump the file structure onto the server, it depends on whether this successfully ran. So if this doesn't run, it's not going to transfer the files over. So you can build dependencies in your desired state configuration to make it work more correctly. Now, the creation of the DSC actually isn't too nasty. I keep thinking it's a three-step process, and really it's down to two, to be quite honest, but it's, I think, three. You build the DSC file, which is just a standard text file. You do it with the PowerShell ISE. You can do it Notepad if you feel really up to it, because that's all there is to it. Then we run that DSC file because it's a function, and what it'll actually do is create MOF files. So this is where Microsoft is stepping towards the industry standards. It's not creating a file that's unique to Microsoft servers. It's creating a MOF file, which is the industry standard. And that file is being used to actually do the configuration. And then once you've got that compiled and done, you literally run the start DSC configuration and apply that configuration. Now let's see if we can flip over to here. Who's the run? Oops, wrong server. Click, click, click. I think I have too many servers open. There we go. So it's just actually finished from the last one. So let's clear this all up here so you can see what we've got on here. So on the screen right now is our DSC file that actually defined that web server. As you can see, we've given a configuration name. There's a little bit of PowerShell in here because I'm actually passing parameters, but for the most part, we're just targeting the server name. And go right down the list here. Feature, present, name of the feature. And where it's getting these names from are literally when you go into Server 2008 R2s, 2012, 2012 R2, and you do a get Windows feature commandlet, that's the actual names it's using in the DSC file for the names of the features. So if you want the web server feature, take a look and get Windows feature. It's called web-server. Plop it in there. And ensure equals present says basically make sure this feature is on the server. Although it says ASP.NET, this could be Chocolate Bunny. These are names that I've picked out of the box. They should make sense, but they don't have to. I recommend that they make sense, however. Here's an example of in that same target folder structure where the name actually does make sense. This is actually from another DSC script. I get lazy. I go copy-paste. And I said, from my last DSC server where we were deploying the app bAgent media, it was copying a folder structure. Well, I wanted to deploy a web server, and the syntax was the same. I just forgot to rename it. But in here, this is a case where we're saying file. The desired state configuration in this particular scenario has to go down to C, inet, pub, www, root, ensure it's definitely present. Source path is this server over here, UNC path name. It's a directory structure, recursive, and that's going to go to that source path, grab all the file content in there, and replicate it on this destination server, or servers, at C, inet, pub, root. It just runs this lovely little line. So this first part here, when you run that, simply defines the configuration name. This little line down here actually compiles it. So if I was to run this right now, clear this off the screen. Take a directory here. There's a folder here called Internal Web Servers. And inside that folder is a MOF file for each DSC server applying to. Now, the reason we use the PowerShell DSC file to define the DSCs is because unless you're really geeky, nobody wants to create a MOF file. I'll show you what these, well, useful little nightmares look like. This is the industry standard, not the Microsoft standard. And you could sit down manually create one of these. You actually could. But this file over here is a lot more readable and will do all the work for you. Then if we were to rerun that again, we You can actually run that same command that we did last time. So start DSC configuration. Let's step out of the web service folder. Start DSC web configuration. We tell it the folder, excuse me, path. Tell it the folder where the actual DSC files are at, which is called internal web servers. Now, if I don't type in wait, it'll actually schedule as a background job in PowerShell. And if I say wait, it'll run interactively. But I want it to be running in the background. So I can just simply do that. Now this is a background job. If that was 1,000 servers, right now that's running the background, contacting all those online servers to make sure that configuration gets applied. Well, let me running out to all those individual servers to apply that configuration. We're running a little fast for time here. This is just me. Yeah, a wee bit fast. That can't be right. That's only 20 minutes. Shame on me. Okay. We'll wrap up a little bit there. So within Hyper-V Server 2012 R2, DSC is also available. So this is not simply, hey, you have to run the production server to run this. The ability to create the files is Notepad. The ability to compile the files is PowerShell 4.0. And PowerShell is what's required to push those out. So as long as you have PowerShell 4, you've got the option of using DSC. That means we can actually use desired state configuration, as I was saying before, to say spin up a virtual machine and use that file to define the virtual machine's capabilities, whether it's an expensive server like Server 2012 or it's the free Hyper-V Server 2012 R2. One of the big things is the server configuration is now a single file. You can do it with VMM templates, you can do it all sorts of crazy ways, but it's just a single text file. And looking at that file, it's not, again, it runs inside PowerShell. But really, it's a very simplistic text file that defines the configuration of the server. You can make it really complex, do a lot of fun stuff with there, but it's not something that's outside the scope of most people getting the grasp of. It's scripting for the non-scripter, I always keep thinking of it there. And the other big thing with DSC is that your server configurations are now something that can be enforced. So rather than simply you push the server out and cross your fingers and hope it's done, if something happens to that server down the road and you enforce it through DSC, you can actually have it maintain the configuration of the servers, maintain that the following features are in there, that the file structure is the way they should be, that the servers are operational to meet the company's standards. Just for fun, let's see. There was two servers I pushed this configuration out to before at the beginning, all right? So I got Web4 and Web3 over here. These before were just ordinary blank servers. Nothing here, nothing here, and nothing up here. Go down, flip over, take a few minutes to load the website because it's an ASP website. And it's also a virtual machine. I'm running 512 mega RAM. No, you should not run your production web server like this. It's okay to run it on your laptop, but not as a production solution. Let's flip over to our friend over here. We'll do that there. And that's next door? Yeah. Cool. He said toys. All right, slip over here. Let's see who to get first there. Come on, virtual machine, be a little faster today. Oh, I know why it's slow, because I'm actually applying the desired state configuration while I'm doing this. Shame on me. Okay, so what wasn't a website before is now a fully functioning website with one DSC file. The nice thing about this file is we're not simply defining it for one server. This is for a configuration. So if all of your front-end web servers should look this following fashion, and somebody says, okay, by the way, in the new websites, all the websites, we have to add this feature, you can add that to the DSC file and reapply that feature. Whatever servers fall under that configuration repository, receive that configuration. And this is web number 3. Run the exact same website as the first one. Fully functional, fully operational, with one DSC file. Okay. We got time for questions, because it looks like I talked faster than I thought I did. Questions, desired state configuration? Yes? Can you pass the parameters? Yeah, so the question is, can you pass parameters to DSC? The answer is absolutely yes. So a basic DSC file, though it's a text file, I'll flip back to my original environment over here to show you what I did. I did a very basic pass parameter. So up here, a normal DSC file where it says node would actually be something like server 001. And what I've done with this file to expand its capabilities is I put in the param object from Windows PowerShell and said node. Because we're defining a function. It works effectively like a function. So if I go down here, you'll see I'm running a line where it says internal web servers. And now I'm passing a parameter node. So I can actually sit there and say, run this very configuration and build me the BOF files for. And if I've done it statically. But if you had a CSV file with all these server names, you can build all the MOF files that way as well. So absolutely, you can put in PowerShell parameters. And although you won't see a lot of code in this, PowerShell can integrate its own features, its own capabilities when the DSC file is expanded to a much higher level. The file you're seeing really is just more of a compiling file, because nobody wants to type up a MOF file. Maybe they do, and there's no fault that they'd want to do it, but I'd rather be home at 5. But absolutely, you can integrate PowerShell into DSC files at a much higher level. Any more questions? Go for it again, yes. Can DSC ensure my mouse trails are disabled? Actually, that's a fun question, but you know what? The answer to that is probably. How I would define that, and it's a fun question. I like these ones. Yes, I don't know. I turn them on there. How we turn the mouse trails off is if there's a registry key holding that configuration, DSC could apply that configuration to the servers to turn off the mouse trails. I like the question. That's cool. Any more questions? I actually like that. That's cool. And that's how you can have some fun with PowerShell, too. It's like, how do you learn to work with it? In my case, I played. Like, I like to do something stupid on my computer. So some of the stuff you see me doing scripting, guys, has nothing productive done at all. It's fun stuff to learn how you can code. Well, I'm not a developer. I'm just an IT pro. And one of the things I learned to do with PowerShell, I said, I like to have PowerShell make little noises. So I wrote a script to have PowerShell play music with the beep beep thing. That's it. So it sounds like a silly question, but it's a fun question. That's exactly how you learn to work with these things. Could you turn off mouse trails? Absolutely, you can turn off mouse trails. Or I could just do this method. Works better. I've just reached my desired state. Other questions? Yes? Okay, the question is, how does DSC know how to apply and maintain? I haven't turned on the maintain feature yet, but I believe it's an actual registry setting that has to be pushed down to the endpoint workstation. So by default, desired state configuration takes the MOF files, connects up to the remote endpoint and says, this is your main configuration. And when it receives that node that says turn on DSC to this file, it'll go into apply mode. Take the information, apply these settings in this order, in this dependency order. It won't maintain them. So if somebody goes and removes a feature, until you tell DSC at the endpoint to maintain that, it doesn't maintain it. So you'd actually have to go out and turn it on. I don't remember the checking path. I think it might be every 15 minutes or so, DSC will check its DSC file against the present server configuration. So if there's 7 features that have to be on and somebody went in and removed it, if you turn on maintain mode, it'll reapply it. If maintain mode is off, which it is by default, because Microsoft is aware that you have auditors that say things shouldn't magically change themselves, you have to put in a change request to change it back on, they leave that off so it's under your control. So the way it knows to maintain it is quite literally, it's a setting on the endpoint server. You have to actually set it on the far side. But interesting question. Other questions about DSC? Okay, no harms there. It's some cool technology. It's Persian 4. It's getting better by the minute. If you really want to get into PowerShell DSC, there's some stuff on scripting guys about it. But I've got a little link up here called Posh DSC, and I've compiled a lot of resources we had on the internet. So you could bit.ly/poshdsc. I got a lot of resources from the guys at Microsoft, including a fellow whose name is Stephen Murawski. Stephen Murawski is a PowerShell MVP in the States who's done a lot of work with DSC in production. And he's gone so far as to document how to build a DSC pull server. So what we did there is I'm sitting interactively at a server saying, do this. But it makes more sense that you've got your servers out there and they simply fire up, point at the source server and say, my name is John. Here's the configuration for John, pulls it down. Such a server takes a little more setup to do, but it's a much better setup for a DMZ environment because then you're just having the DMZ point to say ports 80443 through WinRM going up to the source server, grabbing its configuration. Your firewall guys will be a little bit happier rather than me saying, I want ports going out to the DMZ for my production environment. I know firewall guys and they have no sense of humor, but hey, I'm going to punch a hole in the DMZ. If you're trying to reach me, Sean at PowerShell.ca, Twitter, The Energized Tech. You can get me at Systo Technologies, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you've got questions about PowerShell at all, it doesn't matter. There's no such thing as a stupid question because I tell you, when I started learning PowerShell, I had no clue where to start. And I was asking some of the PowerShell guys, I felt like an idiot because I thought, you know, I'm too stupid. No. Every one of us started at a blank point somewhere. So if you got a question, you're trying to figure something out, you're trying to see if you can do something, ping me, Sean@PowerShell.ca. You can hit me on Energized Tech there. I don't mind being asked questions. I love helping out and trying to make your day a little smoother. Please visit our sponsors. They had some really cool swag out there. Has anybody got the green beam screwdriver? Okay, coolest toy ever, useful toy ever, I should say. It's a precision screwdriver sitting inside that little cap. So if you got one, it pays for itself just for today. And most importantly, most critical, most, please don't tell me someone's going here and they could have done Twitter and they didn't do Twitter and they missed out on the Surface Pro. Hashtag CDN MVP days. And I really, the criteria seems to be what makes their eyeballs go, whoa, get their attention. Pictures, crazy tweets, who cares what it is. Make them think twice before walking away from your tweet because that tweet could get you a Surface Pro. And that never hurts to get. I'll leave this back up the screen if anyone wants to get their bit.ly link. My name is Sean Carney, the Energized Tech. I'm glad to have been held here at MVP Days. I hope I've tried to make your life a little bit easier. If you've got questions about desired state configuration, ping me up. I'll try and help you through it. Thanks a lot. Oh, and most critically, not to forget, next door, they're drawing for prizes. So if you did that tweet and you got the Surface Pro and you're not here, guess what? Cool prizes next door. And I believe still some swag over there, too.
Hi, I'm Crystal Kawula, Lead Coordinator for MVP Days Community Roadshow, and I'm here today with Dave Kawula, Microsoft MVP, Technical Evangelist, and Accomplished Author.
Hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
Told me you didn't want me to talk.
No, I didn't. Hi, I'm Crystal Kawula.
I'm Dave.
And this is Dave. Seriously, I need to get some of this done